trapped, desperate to get out, flapping our wings. It can feel like that. No one wants to be stuck in a cage. We want to be free. People want to be free to make choices, free to be in control, rent free. We want to be free. You know, the Bible talks about freedom. It says a number of things. So two main things it says: freedom from condemnation and freedom to live God's way. And so a couple of verses in John chapter 8. We read, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That's John 8, 36. Or 1 Peter chapter 2. Live God's way, live as free people. You know, we live in a society, and you will know this, we live in a society where money is the ticket to freedom. Or if not money, what money can buy. And so there's plenty of quotes. Here's one from someone you might have heard of, Keanu Reeves. He says, money buys you the freedom to live your life the way you want. Now, if we're honest, that's tempting, isn't it? You know, you can do so much with money. You can travel, see the world, buy houses, all sorts of things, live where you want. And so it is tempting to love money. But the Bible teaches, don't love money. Let me give you three verses. You can see, starting with 1 Timothy 6, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. In other words, it's going to lead you astray, away from Jesus. The love of money. Money's a gift? Yeah. But the love of money. Or Matthew 6, Jesus said this, no one can serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. So it's not possible to both love money and love Jesus equally. Or Ecclesiastes 5:10. Whoever loves money never has enough. Or in the words of Aladdin, I saw in the movie recently, don't drink from that fountain. There's never enough money in the world. Money does not bring a freedom. Now, Hebrews raises the idea of living free, freedom. And it is all to do with Jesus. He is the key to unlock the cage. So I want you to imagine life as a cage. Okay, so you can picture the cage. You can try and picture life in a cage. And so, yes, there are toys. There are swings. There are branches. I know these things because I've got a budget cage at home. But life can be like there are toys, there are swings, there are branches. But life can also bring troubles, anxieties, slaveries, addictions, and the cage can feel like a cage. And so what can happen? Many people around the world, we cry, freedom, give us freedom. We search for all sorts of things to find freedom, and it doesn't bring freedom. But for the Christian, or the preacher telling you about Christianity, freedom is all about Jesus. He is God's freedom. So how do we gain this freedom? Verses 1 to 4 in our passage talks about don't drift away from Jesus, as many are in the habit of doing. Because sometimes in a cage, when you're looking in a cage and there's toys and there's swings and there's branches, the far end of the cage can seem pretty impressive, but you're still in a cage. So don't drift away from Jesus. Hebrew puts it this way, don't ignore his salvation. If the angels, remember from the last talk, if the angels brought the law, carried the law, from God to Moses, brought the law that was binding, and every violation of the law received just punishment. If that was the case in the Old Testament, how much worse will it be for those who ignore Jesus and his salvation? And Jesus, the gospel testifies about Jesus through, Jesus did signs, wonders and miracles in the gospels and testified who he is. And today, even the gifts of the Holy Spirit changes people, and people become different when they're Christians. That all testifies to the truth of Jesus. Do not ignore such a great salvation. For as it says in verse 3, there will be no escape. A lot of people might say, well, I'm a good person. You know, I'll be all right. I'm a good person. I've done good things. No, that's not an escape. Others will say, yeah, but my parents are Christian. You know, I've got relatives who are leaders in the church. That's not an escape. Others will say, yeah, I'm just going to sit on the fence. But you've got to remember, the fence is still in the cage. It's not an escape. The only escape is Jesus. There's no escaping God's wrath, condemnation for ignoring him, except for Jesus. And then to Hebrews, the first audience. Again, you remember their big deal was the angels. And so the author reminds them. The angels who carried the law. Yeah, they're a big deal. We're not ignoring them. They carried the law. But the world to come is not subject to the angels. World to come, verse 5, is subject to Jesus. And so for us, we might not think angels, but again, we've got to think everything here on this planet, or even in the greater universe if we happen to move to Mars or wherever. Everything is subject to Jesus. And then verses 6 to 9 gets a little tricky. But he references Psalm chapter 8, I tried to put it in other words. Basically, it goes like this: man was, and so you get the idea. Where, you know, what is mankind that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you cared for him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him glory. You put everything under his feet. But in putting everything, God left nothing that is not subject to him. But at present, we do not see everything subject to him. You know, something's not right. But we see Jesus. It goes on to verse 9. And so basically, I'll put it in other words. Basically, it goes like this. God made man, but man has a sin problem. But man's pretty special, but we have a sin problem. Jesus became man, but he has no sin problem. That's why we see Jesus, that he might taste death and bring us salvation. Hence why he, in verse 10, becomes the pioneer of our salvation. That's as brief as I can put it. And so therefore, from 10 to 13, we become part of his family. Jesus calls us brothers and sisters. I was talking to one of you recently, and you said to me you were reading this passage, verses 10 to 13, and it really struck one of you that how accepting God must be of us to call us, Jesus to call us his brothers and sisters and to belong to his family, and how it really struck this person. And that is true. So what does all this mean for what Jesus has done? We are able to live freely. That's what it means. Basically, if we love anything else more than God, we are trapped in a cage. So money is an example. Maybe what other people think, future, whatever. If we love anything more than God, we are still trapped in a cage. But Jesus gave us an escape. He became like us, fully human. He entered the cage, but unlike us, he was without sin. And so by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, for those who believe. So who is the devil? The devil is the evil one. He rules the nations. He fuels the pride. He keeps us in conflict with one another. He presents some armies of demons that tricks us to doing things that we shouldn't do and tricks us into thinking that there are better things in this world than following Jesus. That's all from his army of demons. He's able to trick us. There's a catchphrase, the devil made me do it, but this is not for Christians, because we are free from the cage. The devil can't make us do anything that is good. Jesus is able to render powerless the work and the death of the devil. Jesus unlocks the cage that holds us in slavery. He is our merciful and faithful high priest who pleads our case at the right hand of the Father. And he shows us the way out. That's our Jesus. He is greater. He is better. He is superior. Sometimes in our own strength, we try and escape the trouble that we go through. I once knew a man who was an unbeliever all his life. An elderly man who was an unbeliever all his life. That is, whenever he faced trouble, he relied on his own strength, his own muscle. He was a big man. He had huge forearms to get himself out of that trouble. But as the years passed on, his body broke down. He lost his strength. Just a few weeks before he died, he became a Christian. Now I'm speaking of my dad. He was released from the cage. It took a broken body, unable to walk, wrecked with cancer, to finally break in. Mum shared the gospel, he became a Christian. Released from the cage. That's what Jesus can do. That's what Jesus does. So what about us? Now, of course, we're tempted in this life. There is so much stuff that can tempt us. We hear Jesus is greater, and we tick that box, we stand on the right side of the room. But let's be honest, we can be tempted by so much. And if we're young and we're fit and we're strong and we've got huge forearms, we can fight things off. We're tempted by so much. Who can help us when the temptation is so strong? Well, Jesus can. Because he suffered. He entered the vulnerability of the cage by taking on flesh like us, by becoming fully like us, that he could, with this vulnerability, without sin, he could show us the way forward, the way out. Give us the Holy Spirit to help us, to strengthen us as we face the temptations of this life. Jesus is better. He's able to help us live free. All right. Let's go back to your discussion groups. And remember, leaders, what time lunch is, and finish up in a minute.